somebody. Oh, there she is. Praise God. What a blessing we have. What a blessing we have to be able to take everything to the Lord in prayer. Amen. We've been talking about how God builds the church, how Jesus builds the church. We're talking about how the gates of hell will never prevail against the body of Christ. He cannot prevail against the church. Those who trust in God and God alone, you are more than victors through Him. Amen. We may not look like we're in victory right now because it doesn't look that way. But it doesn't matter how it looks. The fact is we are victorious in Christ Jesus. We got to grab a hold on that and concrete our understanding of the relationship we have in God with that fact. Amen? Because if you got that, nothing else matters. We're talking about, as Jesus builds the church, where Peter calls us living stones. And he also says that we're being conformed into the likeness of Christ. Amen? So as a living form, God's pruning those things which need to be pruned that we might bear more fruit. He's taking away the dead that we might live all the more with and for Him. Praise God for that. And then He's fitting us jointly together. Wow! I love that, that God is putting us weirdos. I mean, when the world looks at us, we're weirdos. But God calls us precious to Him. He calls us saints and priests of the Most High God. And He's bringing us together that we could build a house holy and acceptable to God. And in that house, we're supposed to be able to offer up sacrifices to the Most High God that's acceptable to Him. That's the building of the church. So, if you are that, let me ask you, have you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Go ahead, raise your hand like you're proud of it. Amen. If you have not, raise your hand like you're proud of that. Amen. Because if you ain't, be proud of it either way. Because God would rather you be hot or cold than lukewarm, right? So if you ain't saved, know you ain't saved. And if you want to be saved, let me tell you how. Listen to the Word of God, because faith comes by the hearing, and hearing by the Word, right? So listen to God's Word. If you're here today and you are a building of Christ, you are a born-again believer, there ought to be certain things in your life that strengthen you as the building of God. We talked about salvation a couple weeks ago. It took a couple weeks. Last week, we began the study of prayer. People, if you are a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, you must have a proper prayer life. Amen? It's more than just praying over your food at supper time. It's more than just praying, bless me, help me, feed me, make me fatter. It's a deeper understanding of a communication with the God who created everything. And any communication, it's a two-way street. And in our prayer life, it ought to be 1,000 times more important what God says to you than what you say to God. Mm-hmm. Right? Because He's the one going to give you direction. You ain't going to give God direction. Amen. So if we would humble ourselves in the face of God, if we would turn our lives over to the one true living God, God gives us some promises in that. And He would lead us, guide us. He would fill us with the Holy Spirit fresh and new. He would give us a reason that we're... He would let us know why we're alive today. Those things. In that, we'll be in our second part of the study of prayer this week. The effects or the effectualness of a life of prayer. All right? The effectualness of a life of prayer, or the effects of a life given over to prayer, either way you want to put it. Because there's a realness that happens when we enter into that place, when we enter into the quiet spot and hear from God more than we hear of ourselves. This week we'll look at how prayer affects the Christian life. First, like we talked about a minute ago, first you must know that you're a Christian, that you're born again. God does not hear the prayers of those who don't belong to Him except the prayer of salvation. If you have never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ and you say, well, the preacher said God will never hear my prayer. this is a prayer he will hear from you the first time. God, forgive me, a sinner. I know I cannot save myself. I know there's nothing righteous in me. God, I need direction. My heart needs to change. Lord, will you do that for me? Would you be my Savior? Will you touch me with your grace? Will you fill me with your Holy Spirit? God, fill me. And I will guarantee you by the authority of God's word, you, unbeliever, God will touch you from the heavens above. He will reach out into your life where you're at, and he will grant you the security that can be held in Christ. It's not about an altar call, unless you're looking at the heart as your altar. It's a call from God to you. If you are a born-again believer, you need to keep going to that altar. You need to keep going to get your feet washed every day. I need to be cleansed every day, of my personal Christian life. Because I'm swimming through the cesspool of this world, and I get dirty. Praise God that his mercies are new every morning. Praise God that in the morning, oh, what's that song? In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise. Oh, we can meet him in that solidness, in that solitude of prayer. Christian, we need to have an effectual prayer life. There's sin all over this world, but our victory must be found in Christ and Christ alone. Let us be grateful for the sacrifice of praise. Amen. Prayer is, and its effectiveness on our life, those who are called by his name. So let's go to the Lord. Instead of talking about prayer, let's go to the Lord and pray. And then we'll start talking about what the scripture says. Father, we love you. Lord, I pray that you're already at work in this body. Father, that you are at work in many places all over this world all the time. Lord, that your arm is not so short that you cannot save, but you continually look for those ones who have their ear attuned to the voice of the Most High God. I pray, Father, that you would work in us, Lord, a work that would glorify you. Oh, Father, let us be a part of this building called the church that you're putting together. Lord, that we might offer up things that are acceptable to the Most High God. Father, I pray that you would move on us and through us, and Lord, through the Spirit of God, that your voice would be heard today. Lord, I pray for those who, again, who do profess you as Christ, that you would strengthen this time that we have in prayer. Father, that those who don't know you, that you would start a prayer life in them, that we could know you in a deep, personal love relationship. Father, draw us in with your cords of compassion. Father, and help us know truth that we might be set free. We ask those things in Jesus' name. Amen. Effectual prayer is putting our physical lives into a God-centered, Spirit-led life. All right, listen to what I'll be explaining to us today. Effectual prayer is putting into our physical lives, aligning ourselves to be a God-centered, Holy Spirit-led life. In accordance to the living Word of God. So how do I know when I'm in a spiritual-led life? There are parameters that are set in the Word of God. There's borders that he wants us to know. And anything outside of this, you can pray and it not do any good. You can pray it never reaches higher than the ceiling. Never goes any further than your lips and never would reach the top, the ears of God. But there's a prayer that will change not God, but it will change you into his will. And how do God get into that place? Well, I find the borders of that between the covers of this book. And, of course, with the leading of the Holy Spirit. But again, the Holy Spirit would never lead you outside of the borders of this book. All right? If you're getting a spiritual message outside or contrary or in addition to this Bible, the King James Bible, if you're getting other spiritual guidances
I will pray for you. All right? I will pray for you. That you wouldn't be, that those folks wouldn't be moved by every wind of doctrine, but would come to the full assurance of the Most High God in their personal lives. To be an effectual prayer warrior, to have an effectual prayer life, I must have a life that is God-centered. I'm not saying that I will be perfect in this flesh, but I say I will be centered, my heart will be centered, my mind will be centered, my actions will be centered on Christ Jesus through the written Word of God and the leading of the Holy Spirit. We're told in Proverbs 15 and verse 29, this will be our first thought of the day. The Lord is far from the wicked. Okay, we could talk all day right there. If you are living a life that is outside the confines of this word, God's will, God's way, you're wicked before God. And the Bible says in Proverbs that you're far from Him. I don't know about you, but I want a closer walk with Jesus. Amen. I want to be closer. I want to be drawn in closer. And if I hold iniquity in my heart, God will not hear my prayer. We'll get to that scripture in a moment. And he says, but in addition to that, that God is far from the wicked, but He hears the prayers of the righteous. Amen. God hears the prayer of the righteous. So what do I need to do to be righteous before God? Because I am a sinner. And I came short of the glory of God today. Right now. In my very best tie. In my most iron shirt. With my clean everything on. I still come short of the glory of God. Who can deliver me from this body of death? Oh, I thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I stand righteous not because of my works, but because of His works and my faith in what He has done. And as my faith clings to the Word of God, the holiness of God, the righteousness of God, I come to the Lord in prayer confessing my sin, confessing where I was not able to be everything I needed to be. And God cleanses me to hear me. Cleanses you to hear you. But you got to get in that right spot. Remember, God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. We'll get to that, Lord willing. James 5 and verse 16, the latter part of that, he talks about the effectual prayer of the righteous man availeth much. So when I read those two, when I think about them through the Holy Spirit and the Scripture of God, God resists the wicked, right? But He hears the prayers of the righteous. It tells us that the prayers of the righteous in James avail much. Do I want to see God work in our time? God says, if I'm a righteous man and I pray for those things, I will see things happen. It will avail. It's going to produce something. You want to see the lost get saved? First, you got to pray for them. How many folks have prayed for people for years and years and years and years and years? And then that day, amen? And then that day, right, brother? And then that day. Someone prayed for you, and then that day. Someone was righteous and holy before God, and they were on their face before the very throne room of God. And then that day, your grandma, right? A woman of prayer. Right, and she would. I've heard the story. I've never met the woman, but her legend lives on. Right, her legend lives on. Why? Because she was a woman of prayer. She was righteous and holy before God. She may not have been righteous and holy before man, but she was righteous and holy before God. She lived a life in her closet room in her prayer. And she sought the Lord earnestly. You sought the Lord earnestly, and you aligned your life up with the written Word of God through the Holy Spirit of God, that you would pray and seek, and as the Lord led you into a prayer life, things changed. And I've got to tell you, the biggest thing that changes is you. Mm-hmm. Amen? Because it might not change the circumstance of that individual until that day of his salvation happens, their salvation happens. But what it changes is you and the way that you look at the world. Oh, it's so easy to be angry at the world for the scene of the world today, right? Oh, I'm so mad at this person, that person, the other person. I don't think they're doing what I want them to. Well, instead of whining and complaining about it, how about praying?
There you go.
How about praying? No. You want to see the government of America turn back to God? Hey, church, how about pray about that? How about pray about that? Remember, we don't battle after in flesh and blood, but we war against powers and principalities in the heavenly realms. So how do I fight a heavenly realm fight in this physical body? I lean on the one true one, the one God, and I intercede for people, for their life, for their righteousness, through prayer. I align my life up to be holy before God through His Word, that my prayers might avail much. They say, well, why strive to be righteous? I don't want to be a disappointment to my God. I don't want to be a disappointment to the Lord. I don't want Him to look at me and say, He did the best He could do. Because I don't want my best. I want His best. See, my righteousness is nothing but filthy rags before God. My best is never good enough. Your best is never good enough. So what must I do? Like the woman we talked about briefly, we've got to push through the crowd to reach the very hem of the garment of the Most High God. Pushing through the crowd for me would be taking anything that would interrupt that I know is sin before God, that I know that's sin before God, and taking that out of my life with a ferocity, with a great desire to be holy before God. Because I want my Father to hear me, and I want to hear from my Father through prayer. I want to see Him alive in the Word of God. I want to see Him moving. And if I'm harboring iniquity, sinfulness, harboring it, loving it more than God, I won't be hearing correctly from God. If you're a Christian and you're living in a lifestyle that is contrary to the words of God, your words may not be reaching the Most High God. It might only be going as far as your porch. Or maybe it's time to get off the porch and get on your face before the Lord. Maybe it's time to, if you can't run with the big dogs, right? The big dogs are most likely, they're the least of these. John said in John 15, we all know, I'm the vine, you're the branches, my Father's the husband, and we all know that. In verse 7 of John 15, Jesus says, if, it's a big word, two letters, but it holds a lot of weight. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you. Ask yourself this, all right? Because if I ask it, it ain't going to do you no good. Ask yourself before God right now in prayer, Lord, am I abiding in you? Am I abiding in your word? Am I sticking to the promises of God? Am I sticking to the written word of God? Am I placing that as a cornerstone in my life in such a way that I can be effective in prayer? Crickets, right? This is a hard sermon to preach because I know I fall short in this often. As he writes on, or keeps, Jesus keeps saying, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done for you. Oh, wow, what a great promise. But with that promise, there's a hook to it. Did you get the hook? He gave you the hook first. If you abide, then you can ask. If you don't abide and you ask, you're probably not going to get what you ask for. And we'll look at that in James, because sometimes you ask it for your own lust, right? Oh, Janis Joplin, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz? Anybody remember that? All right. He said, no. No, I won't buy you a Mercedes-Benz. I don't care if dialing for dollars is trying to find you.
some of y'all younger folks probably don't get that, but please don't look it up. Don't go there. It's just something that's trapped in my head. God tells us in this abiding in Him, in this holiness of Him, He also tells us to ask and to seek and to knock, to keep on. Christian, have you ever prayed and it didn't happen, but you know you're living holy? Right? You examined your life and you say, God, I'm as right as I can be at this point in my life. But you're asking and you're praying and it's not happening for you. Can I get an amen? Amen?
Amen.
Keep asking. Keep knocking. Keep seeking. Never grow weary in well-doing. Because in due time, you will reap if you faint not. Another big if right there. Will God honor those prayers? Amen. But what does He have to do in that individual or in that circumstance? What's He got to do to get that person put into a spot where it can happen? How many years, Jim? A lifetime, right? It's a lifetime.
There you go.
It was a lifetime. And at 60 plus years old, He said, here I am, Lord. Save me. 60 plus years old.
Amen.
Amen? Mm-hmm. Hey, it happens. It happens. But you got to, you ask every day. You knocked every day. You sought every day. You walked in holiness as the best you could. And then God arranged the things that needed to arrange in that individual's life until that day He called the name and that person heard that name. In your life, it could be the same thing. Or you're praying about a thing and it's not happening, right? You're not understanding. Well, listen, church, keep asking. Keep seeking. Because God always, if you are a holy, righteous person before God, and you're living your life as holy and as perfect as you can, I'm not saying that it is perfect before God, but it's as best as you can do. Your heart is set for God. He'll give you three answers, or one of three answers. He'll say yes, He'll say no, and He'll say wait a while.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Amen.
I got to get some things worked out. Right? I need to do a work in this area for that thing to happen. It's going to take some time. Keep praying until that time comes. Right? Or no. He told Jeremiah to stop praying for this people because their heart was so hard turned against God. God said, I don't want their sacrifices anymore. You know, I pray that America hasn't reached there, but I'm on the inside of me. I'm thinking that the Constitution and the way it was written and our Bill of Rights and the way they were written, they were for a holy people that feared the Lord. But in America, we've raised up a generation that knows not God. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if... I'm not certain that anything's going to stop Nebuchadnezzar from coming. Right? I don't know if anything's going to stop because we've gone over the prophecies. We've gone to that part. We've killed enough babies for God to take judgment. We have ran God out of our government. We've ran God out of our classrooms. We've ran God out of most pulpits in America. We've ran God out of our judicial system. Even on our stupid money that so many people worship, it says, in God we trust, but I guarantee you they do not trust in God. Because if you trusted in God, we wouldn't, as America, worship the almighty dollar the way we do. My heart's breaking as I'm saying this, you know, because I know it doesn't have to be this way. It could be different. If my people who are called by my name would pray, if we would, amen,
humble
ourselves before God, if the church, if those who proclaim Jesus Christ as their Savior, if we would turn from ourselves and turn to Him in prayer, with faith, believing that He hears the prayers of the righteous. If we would align our heart to the righteousness of God, 1 John 5:14 and 15 says the same thing that John 15:7 said. If we ask anything according to His will.
There you go.
Amen? If we ask anything according to His will, He will hear us. And whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire. Well, first we got to get our lives righteous. We got to get our lives in accordance to His will. Church, we need to be holy before God. I'm not just talking about this little congregation right here. I'm talking about the church, the building that Jesus is building. The church needs to get holy before God. We need to confess our sin and pull out of those things that we know are ungodly before the Lord. And we know it because His Word tells us what's godly and what's not. Again, like my brother said, the problem with knowing that is we also have the understanding that 99% of the people who call themselves Christian are biblically illiterate. Because they don't read their Bibles. They don't study the Word. Charity Bible. Don't be that. Okay? Be the Bereans. Be those ones who take what I'm saying and what Tom's saying and what anybody else preaches up here and bring it back to your Bible and you study it out. Do some word searches. Amen? And there are tools now that we have tools. Praise God for that. We have tools. I don't have to know Hebrew and Greek. But yay! Because I barely speak American. Right? I don't have to know all those things. Because we have tools now that will help you. But, Joshua, to have a tool in your toolbox and you don't use it, what good is it?
No good.
No good. All right, you got the tool, but if you don't use that tool for the job it's meant to be used for, it's worthless to you. Might as well sell it in the next yard sale. Church, the problem, the core of the problem of the sin of America lies within the body of Christ. It's not because the world is a sinner. God knew that. But He called us to be righteous. He called us to be holy. He called us to be a priesthood before Him. He called us to be able to offer sacrifices of praise that are acceptable to the Most High God. But I got decaying food in my refrigerator, and I want to feed Him out of it. God will have no part of that because He's holy and He's just. He's saying, take the moldy garbage out of your life and dispose of it. Oh, thank you, Lord. Bring it to the altar of sacrifice. When you think of that altar of sacrifice, what did they do? They brought whatever it was, their sacrifice before the Lord. They tied it to the horns of the altar. They killed it there, and then they burned it. How about that with your personal sin, folks? God wants your personal sin in the very best way you can offer it, with honesty, with purity, with holiness. The problem with the world today, the whole world today, the problem with the world today is the church of Jesus Christ has been polluted by the things of this world. We've loved the world and not the God who created the world. And God's given most of the church over to a debased mind to do those things which are not natural. Well, you know, in Romans he talks about sexual sin after that. Well, how about the things that are just not spiritually natural? Why is it that we believe in the Church of America that we can come before God without confession? Daniel, when he prayed, right, before the Lord sent the answer, Daniel was reading the scripture and he realized that 70 years were nearly, he was reading the book of Jeremiah. Praise God. He was reading the Old Testament.
Right? He's reading the book of Jeremiah, and he realized that the 70 years were almost over, and he went to prayer, and he confessed his sin and the sin of the nation. And then God sent the angel to give the answer. That confession, I believe, is the bullet that made it work, or the trigger that fired the firing pin that brought the bullet, the angel, with the answer to Daniel.
Oh, people, if we ask anything according to his will, well, first we got to get in his will. Amen. We got to be in the will house of the Most High God. We must start living a life that is holy, exemplary. How's that for a big word? Just came to my mind. Don't even know if I said it right. Exemplary to the Lord God, holy and just. The world, a lost, dark, dying world, ought to look at you as a building of Christ and see Jesus in you. They shouldn't look at them at you and see themselves. They ought to see something holy, made right, purify, glorify. Yeah. We're going to start preaching here in just a minute. Okay, and whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition. We have what we ask, what we desire. Let me ask you again, why does it not happen? Go back to James. And in fact, open your Bibles. Hey, this is why when we start right here. Said all that to say this. Yep, I zipped right over. James, chapter 4. The whole of chapter 4, all right? I want you to think, well,
chapter 4, one verse, we're going to set our whole doctrine on that.
No. James, in fact, I ought to start in chapter 1, verse 1. Amen. Right? And really lay it out flat for us. But to the reason that the church is not effectual in prayer. Amen. That's what we're getting to. From whence comes wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence from your lust that war in your members? You lust, and you have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, and yet have not, because you ask not. You ask, and you receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it on your own lust, upon your own lust. Let me get those words right. Amen. You adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy, is the enemy of God. Okay, let's talk about that just for a minute. Do you believe that? Do you, Church of America, do you believe that? If you are a friend of the world system, you are an enemy of God. But I said the prayer. I went to church last Sunday and Wednesday. I paid my tithes. I did this. I did that. And Jesus said, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter in, but he that doeth the will of God. You worker of iniquity, I never knew you. Church, that ought to send shivers down your timbers. Shiver me timbers. That ought to scare you to the very core of who we are. Again, 1 John says the same thing, right? But we're here in James. He calls us adulterers and adulteresses in verse 4. See, we're asking God, we're going to the Lord, and we're giving these mealy mouth, miserable prayers. Feed me, bless me, make me fatter. Give me more. Not that I could give it to anybody else, but I could put it in a storehouse, a self-storage bin. You want it for your own lust. Oh, I want glory. I want to be a deacon. I want to be a pastor for my own glory. Shame on you, you irresponsible shepherds. That's something I don't hear very much from pulpits anymore. Shame on you. Shame. What happened to shame? Where did it go?
Now we're proud of our iniquity and our enemy against God instead of being shameful and brokenhearted over it. Now, if you are adulterer and adulteress, hey, I want you to know he's talking to the church here. He's not talking to the world. He's talking to the ones who claim Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Adulterer and adulteress, know ye not that friendship with the world is an enemy with God? Whosoever therefore be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Do ye not think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in you lusteth to envy? Yearns is another good word for there. To those who have the spirit, you trusted Jesus Christ as your holy, as your Savior. Right? You trusted that. He sent his spirit. John chapter 14, he says, unless I go, I can't send the comforter, but if I go, I will send the comforter, and he will guide you into all truth and remind you of the things that Jesus did. Right? Paraphrasing there, but it's John chapter 14. And that's what Jesus said. The spirit now that lives within you, because Jesus went to the throne of God and he sent that third part, that Holy Spirit, to dwell inside of you, it lusts, it yearns for holiness in you. It's yearning, it's wanting. Oh, let me free. I want the Holy Spirit that's in you says, let me free. Set me free, but your sin's holding me back. I would love to bless you with all the blessings of the kingdom of God. I would love to give you everything, but your sin's holding me back. You're loving the world instead of loving God. Oh, let go of the world that I can open the storehouses of heaven and pour such a blessing on you. You can't stand it. Now, that was taken out of Malachi, and it was talking about tithing, all right? But still, the truth is the truth, all right? I'm not talking about your tithe here. I'm talking about your spiritual tithe to God. Your spiritual tithe to God. Your holiness to God. Making your mind whom you will serve, the gods of Egypt that are on the other side of the river, or the one true living God. Joshua talked about that. Not this Joshua, but God's Joshua. Well, you are God's Joshua. The Joshua that came with Moses. All right, you're not that old. All right. Listen, folks. Do you think that the spirit that dwell in us lusteth, yearns, and envies? But he gives more grace. I love that. Because although I didn't make it today, and I may not make it tomorrow, I know I won't unless I die today. That's the only way I'm going to get out of this. But in me, he's providing more grace. Again, Romans, should we sin all the more that grace may abound? God forbid. I shouldn't abuse the grace of God and cover it by his mercy through my sinfulness. God desires us to be holy and just and righteous before him. He wants to answer your prayer. Do you know God wants to answer your prayer? The Holy Spirit wants to give you these things. His heart's desire is to bless his children. And if Lord's willing, we'll get to that portion of Scripture where Jesus talks about prayer and how the Father, you being a sinner, unrighteous, knows how to give good gifts to your children. Don't you think the Father wants to give good gifts to you? The things that stop the blessings of God is the unrighteousness of me. It's not that God doesn't have it and that he doesn't want to give it to us. He does. He has it in abundance. Blessings and mercy and grace. In abundance he has it. And his heart's desire is to pour it out on me and you, the church. But just like an earthly father, will your earthly father bless you for unrighteousness in your earthly life? Right? If your dad loves you, he chastens you. If the parent doesn't love the child, they spare the rod. Right? Because that's what it tells us. Everybody says, spare the rod, spoil the child. That's not what the Bible says. It says that the father who hates his son spareth the rod. But he that loveth his son disciplines him promptly. I want to be that son that God loves. And when I mess up, he beats the snot out of me till I get right.
in loving care. Right? In loving care. He doesn't do it to kill me. He does it to grow me. But I've got to be in line with his word. He wants to give more grace. Wherefore, he saith, God resist the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. I don't think anymore. We can finish the whole sermon right here. God, if you are proud and arrogant and self-righteous, self-willed, if you're doing your will and not his will, God's going to resist you. Let me tell you, when God resists you, you are resisted. Amen. If he says this far and no further, I want to pour out the blessings of God. I want to answer the prayers of my saints. I want to do that. But they are proud and arrogant and self-willed and stiff-necked. This far and no further. Until they humble themselves before God. Confess their sin. Because he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin that we confess. Through prayer. Through prayer. Prayer is very important, people. See, I don't need you to confess your sin before me. I can't forgive you. And if I could, it wouldn't work. Now, if you do me wrong, or if I do you wrong and I come and ask for forgiveness, or you ask, I will forgive you, and I will not hold it against you. Ever. Because I want to be forgiven of God. Right? Amen. That's why. But when I sin against God, I need to come before God and confess my sin to him, because he's faithful and just to forgive me that sin. If you're proud, God will resist you. If you're proud, you won't go to God. You'll go to Dr. Phil or Oprah. You'll go to the medicine cabinet. I'm depressed. What I need to do is pop some pills. No, you're depressed. What you need to do is confess that before God and get healed. Amen? I'm not saying depression isn't real. It is real. But I have a God that sits in the heavenlies that tells me if I want to have joy, I need to be filled with the Spirit of God. Joy rushes out depression. You can't be depressed and joyful at the same time. Y'all seen that stupid commercial where the woman holds, or those people hold the little round face with a smiley? I'm so depressed, but here's my smiley face. All right, get rid of the smiley face and stop taking that dope they're giving you and start going to the Word of God, confessing your sin, that he would heal you from that. I believe God's able to do that. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Do you believe God's able to do that? Yes. I believe he is. I believe he has the power. That he is the power. And he gave us the Holy Spirit. Oh, folks. Verse 7 through 10, I have underlined and circled three different colors in my Bible. How about you? He said, submit yourselves therefore to God. Oh, okay. Let's talk about that. Submit yourselves therefore unto God. This is more than just asking God to save you. This is living a life separate from in the world but not of the world. Submitting to his wisdom, not the world's wisdom. Submitting to his ways, not your ways. Submit yourself to God. Oh, come on, church. Where is that from the pulpits of America? Submit yourselves unto God. I don't know. I haven't heard in a long time. All of the TV and radio evangelist stuff, I don't really hear this very much. Why is the church so weak? It's because we're not doing step one, submitting ourselves to God. That's why the church in America, that's why evil is rampant, that's why all this ungodliness has happened. We're teaching our children they came from a mistake from beyond the universe. That you're an oops, and you came out of a monkey, that came out of a fish, that came out of a lizard, that came out of a mistake in some ascetic pool a gazillion million years. Stop! You're made in the likeness and image of God. You're supposed to be holy. I'm supposed to love you because that image is on you and in you. You are not a mistake. Submit to God and his word. He'll fix that for you.
I am not an animal.
Right? I am not an animal. I'm the image of God trapped in a sinful flesh. You're not an animal. You're not a mistake.
Submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. All right? A lot of people say, I'm going to resist the devil. I'm going to pray against him. I got my book of prayers. I'm going to flip through that book of prayers. I'm going to pray this prayer word for word, line for line. I'm going to do that, and God's going to work. No, he's not, because you didn't do the first step. Hey, if Michael did not fight Lucifer over the body of Moses, he said, the Lord rebuke you. That's all I'm going to do is I'm going to trust in Jesus Christ. I'm going to submit to Jesus Christ. As I submit to Jesus Christ, the devil and all of his little cohorts, minions, can't touch you. Because I'm submitted to God. I'm holy and just before God. I will resist him. When the devil comes into my mind, tells me I'm not worth it. When the devil comes and says, you're a mistake, you're a pile of nothingness and God doesn't love you, I'm going to resist that thought. When the devil comes and says that you're not what you're supposed to be, you need to go to the doctor and have this implanted or that implanted. What do they squirt that garbage in your face to make your face puff up? Yeah, it's garbage. I don't know what it is. But they, Botox, that's what it is. I want to squirt that stuff in my face to make me look young. Or I need bigger these or bigger that or longer this. Stop! God made you like you are. You are perfect before God. All of that garbage is from the devil. All of that garbage is from the devil.
Amen.
Stop thinking that way. Get rid of those garbage magazines in your TV or on your house. Get rid of that stuff. Submit to God. Resist the things that the devil is telling you is true. The devil will tell you you're not worthy. And you'll hear preachers say, well, you're a sinner and you're not worthy. Well, in a real way, I wasn't in my eyes.
There you go.
But God, he thought I was worthy enough to send himself in human form, his son, to die on a cross for me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I might not be worthy much to myself, but I was worthy enough that God came and died, shed his blood for me. That's pretty pricey. And rose again. Amen. That's pretty pricey. You might think that you're not worth it. Jesus said, I'm worth it enough to die for you. I'm worth it enough to come from the grave for you. I'm worth it enough to come back for you. Hey, you are worth it. You may not think it, but God thinks you are. See, the devil tells you you ain't. But resist that. If you submit to God, you resist those things, you resist those teachings, you resist the lie of the world, you resist that, it will flee from you. Because people, let me tell you, I used to believe that the Cro-Magnon, Australopithecus, all of those things, I believed that stuff. Until I knew the truth. When I knew the truth, I didn't believe that stuff anymore because it just ain't real. What's real? I submitted to God. And out of my darkness, he brought light. We'll do 3 weeks of this for sure. He says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. All right? How do you draw near to God? Here's one way. I do this often. It's right here on my face. It's on my knees before the Lord. I confess my sin. I lift my arms, my hands to God. God, help me, save me, a sinner. Fix my brokenness today. God, I need you. I'm drawing near to you. And guess what? God stoops down out of heaven with his mercy and his grace, and he covers me. He puts his arm over me. He'll put his arm over you. Get your life in the position of prayer. I like to pray on my knees. All right, some of you say, well, I can't go to my knees. I'm a Florence Donner. I can crawl around all day long. I don't have a problem being on my knees. If you can't get on your knees, how about this? Can you get prostrate before the Lord? Can you lay out before God on your face before him? Yeah, you can't get to your knees. How about humbling yourself before God? You can't get up. All right, well, you got a woman, right? Amen. You got a woman, you got a wife. She's there to get you. You go to bed every night, I guarantee you. You lay down.
Yeah.
You get up every morning, you stand up. You don't have to lay down on something hard. You can lay down on something, you can roll out of, and get back on your feet. Amen. But get yourself, humble yourself before God, and He will lift you up. And that being on my face, being on my knees before God, to me has become a comfortable place. I mean, it's not that I can't pray standing up, because I do, I pray standing up. It's not that you can't pray when you're driving. But when you close your eyes and lift your hand doing 65 miles an hour, that's a dangerous place to be. Jesus, take the wheel. Yeah. No! Stupid, open your eyes. Drive. But you can get to that place. Right? Amen. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Then He says these big things. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. When you draw near to God, confess your sin before God. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Make up your mind. Who is God? Is the world God, or is the creator of the world God? Remember why God sends people into sin in their life? Because they worship the creature instead of the creator, who is holy and just forever. But they trust the world more than they trust the God of the world. And God turns them over to do things that are ungodly. Yeah, sexual sin, but there's other things that are ungodly. And I'm not going to get into that because that would put parameters around it for you. You know what's ungodly in your life. Stop it. Stop it. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. When was the last time you were really afflicted because of your sin?
Romans 6.
Amen. Romans 6. We ain't got time to get there today, but when was the last time you in your personal life were broken? How about not over your sin? How about the sin of the nation? When was the last time that we wept over same-sex marriage? When was the last time we interceded before God, holy and just? My hands are clean now. I'm weeping for, I'm praying for our president. Weeping. I'm praying for our governess. Weeping for her to be saved instead of being all self-righteous and all uppity in ourselves, instead of casting stones, casting grace. Oh man, isn't that a better thing to throw at somebody? The grace of God instead of the stones of the world. Oh, cleanse your hands, ye sinner. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Stop being double-minded. Right? If you're double-minded, you're driven by the doctrines of this world, by any wind that blows. If you're double-minded, you will go that way. If you're double-minded, they'll say Christ is over here, Christ is over there, you'll go that way. If you're double-minded, that's where you're going to go. You're going to go wherever you feel like going, wherever the winds of desire bring you. Amen. You'll be as stable as water. Yep. Has anybody here ever tried to balance water? Get you a tube, right? Get you a tube of water. Not a bucket. Bucket's easy to handle. Get you a tube, say about 3 or 4 inches wide. Put a cap on one side. Fill it with water about a little over halfway. Put a cap on the other side. Now try to balance that. Good luck. You better be strong. And keep it balanced. Walk this world. Don't be double-minded. The only way that you can do it properly is freeze it. Then it stops moving. Amen. Anyhow, be afflicted more. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy into heaven. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. We're going to stop right there today. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Praise God for that. Praise God for that. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He is going to lift you up. Come to the Lord in prayer and thanksgiving, humbling yourself in the very sight of the Most High God. Yes, God, you are right. I am wrong. I humble myself. I repent from my sin. Cleanse me. I am a sinner. And guess what he will do? From your brokenness, from your rent heart, from your lack of everything, he will scoop you up as a little baby chick. And he will draw you close to his heart. He will warm you and feed you and love you. Bugs Bunny just popped in my mind. How horrible is that?
George is my friend. I love him. I will pet him. If I had a rabbit, I would love him and pet him and treat him.
Right? I don't know. That's what God wants to do to you. He wants to pick you up. He wants to love you and squeeze you and pet you and feed you and give you the things that are necessary for this life and the life to come. The only thing that's stopping him is me. The only thing that's stopping him is my sin, my iniquity, my lust, my desires that don't line up with the scripture of God. You want to be blessed? You need to get right with God. You need to get right with him today, right now. And not just with your mouth, because Isaiah says they draw nigh to me with their mouth, but their heart is far from me. You need to get right in your heart with God. See, you know what's keeping you. Even right now, at this very second, at this very moment, you already know. Bring that to the altar of God. Bring that to his altar. Offer it up as a sacrifice, a burnt offering. Let him take that iniquity. Let him kill it, drain its blood. Let him take that blood and sprinkle it over the mercy seat of the Most High God. Be ye cleansed. Happens through prayer. Happens through prayer. And if it doesn't happen the first time you pray, you keep asking, you keep seeking, you keep knocking. Next week, we'll get into Matthew chapters. My brother.
Can I just add a point there? That
yes.
There is a situation in which prayer is a sin.
Oh, amen.
And
yes.
It's from Proverbs 28:9. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination.
Amen. Yes.
So,
amen.
Communication is a two-way street.
Amen.
If you don't want to hear from him, he doesn't want to hear from you.
Amen. Thank you, my brother.
Abomination.
Called an abomination.
And your prayers can be blocked if you're not living with your wife in an understanding way.
Amen.
That's true.
All right, so we got it here. We got it here. All right, you got it here. I'm pointing out my head, you got it here. It's time to move it from here to here. Right, because exactly what you read is absolutely right. If we go away from the laws of God, if you keep my commandments, Jesus said, I will call you my friend. But when you go away from that, you're no longer the friend of God. He no longer hears your prayer. Cleanse your hand, purify your heart. O you sinner, Curtis, right? Because I can't tell this to you without looking at the scum that he cleansed me from. Amen? So I'm not up here casting stones. I'm up here offering a clean bath. Right? Come to the water. Right? Come to the water. Come to the well of life. Be ye cleansed. Do it through prayer. And as the Holy Spirit moves on you, then do it through action. See, prayer without action, it's just words. You have the Holy Spirit living in you, on you, right now at this very moment. If you pray with faith, God will show you the adjustment that needs to be done in your life. And we all have adjustments to be made. I don't know, go home. Father, I love you. We praise you, Lord God.
thank you for your word, for your righteousness, for your goodness. I pray, Father, oh God, make prayer a pillar in our life. Oh Lord, thank you. Oh God. Oh Lord, make prayer a pillar in our life. Lord God, move over us in such a way that you could be glorified, Lord. Mm-hmm. Oh, cleanse me, a sinner. Lord Jesus, thank you, Father, for your cleansing power. Oh, I pray for these, your people, Lord God, move in their heart in a real way. Oh God, show them your holiness and your righteousness. Oh, Father, work in us that we would seek you with the fullness of our lives. Lord, I ask these things and so many more that are bouncing in my head even now. In Jesus' name.